D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Know what's pumping on the field. You know what? See, we can't start. Hold on. You got to wait till he tells us he loves us.
Okay. All right.
It helps my self-esteem. Yep. That's why.
Saints, B's and B-boys. I love this podcast. I love this
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub with me as usual. To my right, Heath Elsonson.
Hey.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio. And for the next hour, we're going to be providing you with more Saints and useless information than any person needs to know. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub BS and Beer style. Y'all like it?
That's good.
I got to have my thing,
that's
man.
Good, bro. That's good.
All right.
Now,
y'all calm down.
You
got to have the applause button. Listen, y'all calm down. Okay. We are days away. I can't.
I'm too excited.
I'm very excited. Days away from... See, here's the problem. Last week, they were like, well, the rookies report on Wednesday. I thought I'd have so much information to talk about all this.
I know.
Nothing. Not a thing. Nothing comes out.
Crickets.
But we do have some news, because today we're going to talk about Snead signs a contract, right? Yeah. We also have the Saints want Ramczyk or Khalif Barnes to become the starting tackle, because at this point they don't want to move Pete from left guard.
Yay. And that's a novel idea.
So then we have some guys.
They've got to pin all their hopes in Ramczyk.
Well, you got to give them a shot. We got to get a shot. Then we have some guys going to the PUP. And that's the physically unable to perform. It's not the
same
guys.
You'll recognize these names.
Yeah. Okay. Some of it. Armstead. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Let's wait till the show starts before we get into this, because man, Unger.
Yeah.
Unger's on the. Calamente. That's a new name. I'm not even sure why he's on. Osinho's on the PUP list.
Yeah.
Have to look that up. The name that I know everybody's going to say it isn't so, Dave.
When's it coming? Yep.
Ellerby.
Yeah.
Danelle Ellerby.
Yep.
Now, I just found out from a very reliable source. My inside source tells me he broke a bone. I didn't know he broke a bone. Tomas just told me before the show started. He broke a bone in his foot.
Yeah. Does it matter? I mean, you know.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
I do know what to say. I'm just waiting to say it. So how y'all fellas doing today, huh? Huh? Welcome in.
Doing all right, Dave. How you doing?
How you doing? Tomas?
I don't have a problem with PUP, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem yet.
That's not
like, older people get that problem,
say,
but I don't have that problem.
I think there's also another acronym that's like that's some kind of erectile dysfunction that you have. You're supposed to tell your doctor if that lasts for more than 2 hours. Or something.
I personally hang a flag on it if it lasts more than
2 hours. That's priapism, Dave.
And then we salute.
Speaking of that... I'm not going there. Did y'all hear about OJ?
I did.
So OJ.
Yeah.
I understand that he
broke the rules.
He had one time that he broke the rules.
One time he got caught broken.
Well, okay. I imagine you're in prison that long that you're going to break the rules quite a bit. I don't know if, you know, on this family show, we don't discuss those kind of things.
No,
so
I don't think so.
I'm going to give you a couple.
He just wasn't washing his hands properly.
Let me just say. Using the wrong technique. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, here, I'll share it with you so that you understand.
Okay, go ahead.
So that you understand, when they say the juice was on the loose.
I give it to us.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So this one is too easy. Choking the chicken.
Yeah, we know that one.
Yeah, everybody knows that one. Yeah. But how about firing the old skin pistol?
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to go.
Lizard?
No, I'm not going to use that one. Cleaning the pipes.
There you go.
Cleaning the pipes. Doing a little. Yep. flogging your log.
There you go. Yeah. That's the other one.
How about a dishonorable discharge?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if y'all don't know what we're talking about, it's a family show. We're going to use some euphemisms. We don't want to talk about that kind of stuff here. It's just not appropriate.
That's correct.
But having said all that, I think it's just time to go ahead and get this show started.
Go ahead on.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, a little bit later on in the show, Tomas, he had a suggestion for something, and I don't know if he was serious or whatever, but then internet exploded. Here comes Lil Dice. Oh, by the way, Lil Dice, happy birthday, sir. He sent me an email, told me it's his birthday.
Really?
And you didn't have to send that email.
Happy birthday, brother.
You know, we had a card all ready for you.
Absolutely. Been signed by the whole crew.
Oh, yeah, the whole crew. We're ready to go out. And then, but since you
production, marketing, advertising, everybody signed.
And since all he had to do was just send an email or say it on the radio, then we just decided it was easier than mailing the card and paying the whole 35 cents for the stamp. Yeah. Is that what they charge?
35 cents, 49, brother.
Man, where have I been? I tell you what, though, I am.
I remember Nick
where I've been.
Although I got to say this, saying little dice is as bad as saying 50 cents.
It's
50 cent.
A little dice. A little dice. Yeah. Sorry.
Just,
I'm disrespecting dice. Yeah. That's very. I don't know, very square. Speaking of where I've been.
Where you been, bro?
I've been on Twitter.
You have?
I just discovered. This is so funny. Okay, I always joke about how I don't understand Twitter. What I don't understand is how to get people to actually follow you. So I guess sometimes it just happens organically because, like, literally early in the week,
right?
I opened up my Twitter, and I had, like 54 people following me. I'm like, where did that come from? So now all of a sudden I'm like, well, if I got, all I need is a handful of people to listen to what I have to say. Yeah. So now that's where I've been.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Tomas, don't you have a Twitter account?
I have several.
Why don't you share that with the people? Because you too could have 50-something people listening to you.
Wow. That's amazing. there you go.
Well, you'd have to lose about 1,950 people to get to 50.
I actually think I crossed 2,000 on my political.
That's not an easy task.
I've been at it for a long time to get get up to that number. But like I told you, the trick to Twitter is tweeting. You have to tweet.
You don't say.
Don't.
Tell us more. Who would have thought that is how you do it?
You don't get any followers if you just read, okay? If you just read, there won't be any followers, okay?
I thought I made an account. I came back a few days later. There was nobody.
I'm like,
there you go.
Did I follow you yet?
It's kind of like this Fitbit. I've strapped it on my arm. I still ain't seen no weight loss. I don't know what the deal is.
Man, you think you'd have lost some weight by now. You paid $150.
You would think.
So, sneak signs.
Think skinny. Just keep thinking skinny.
Yeah, think skinny. Speaking of skinny, that's an attempt at a segue there.
Yeah.
How about Sneed?
What's the skinny on Sneed?
Skinny on Sneed is he signed his tender.
Yeah.
He's making a little under $700,000.
Yeah.
I think that they're probably going to continue to work on his long-term deal.
As well they should.
And they should. And I think that's where they kind of got caught up in setting up what type of contract that he wants and that they're willing to give. And I think it's best for him if you go ahead, sign a contract, make sure you guaranteed some money, because you getting into some scary situations there when you end up without a contract and you get hurt.
Right.
So I don't know what he's going to do about that. I think we'll continue to see some progress. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, even if before the season starts.
Right. I think we'll see him get signed out to a nice long-term.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah, well, thank you. All right. Appreciate the
when
input.
When he's a number two receiver, you got it. You have to pay up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a discussion for later.
Well, number three. He's a hell of a contributor. We could say that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just don't know if he's...
We get a little too wrapped up, I think, sometimes on number one, number two, you know. It's not as clear cut, kind of like basketball. We got point forwards and center forwards, point centers and all kinds of stuff. You know, who's number one, who's number two, it doesn't really matter.
Especially in the Saints offense, I think that applies. I think Snead is a nice receiver. I don't know if I'm ready to give him so let's ask
take a position, Dave.
So I'll ask you, Tomas. You're the guy with opinions.
My opinions are more valuable than facts.
That's what I understand. That's the word on the street. What do you think his value is? What type of – give me an idea of an annual salary. Is he a $2 million guy? Is he a $10 million guy? What's his number?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is this. I think that at the – he signed the exclusive, and again, he's way underpaid, been underpaid.
Absolutely.
For what he proved last year and what I'm sure he's going to prove this year as well. So I think he's just going to check the market, and I think the Saints are going to do with him like they did with Hill. I think they're going to let him go out and check the market. Somebody's going to make him an offer, and then it'll be up to the Saints to say, we'll match it, or let it go.
You think it'll get that far?
I really think it'll go that far. I think that that's the whole reason why. They may be negotiating during the season, but at this point, I just have this feeling that he's undervalued, you know, even by Loomis. You know, I don't think he's undervalued by Peyton, or certainly not by Breeze. But I think that from a business perspective, I think they made a decision. Okay, if you agree to the minimum that we're going to give you here, okay, and maybe we'll work on a contract, maybe we won't. But I think he's going to do just like Hill. I think he's going to get to the end of the season. Saints are going to say, go ahead and check out the free agent market. Let's see what happens. He's going to go out there. He's going to check it. Somebody might offer him, you know, a 4-year deal worth, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that.
You know, okay, I was expecting you to say something a little bit more extravagant.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Get him something averaging $3 to $5 million.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Somewhere between $3 and $5 million a year.
Because whatever number I come up with, it's always significantly more. Because every year you're like, they said the housing price last year, you can rent that place for $500. Come back to next year, well, the starting is $750. Every time I come up with a number, the next year it's completely blown out of water.
And again, if you look, if he has the same, and I think he's going to have even more productivity this year than he did last year.
Well, it's almost a necessity.
And if that's the case, there are going to be teams out there that go, man, this guy would be a great guy to have on our team. You know, I'll give you an example. Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers would love to have him on the team. And they would make an offer like that. Hey, we've got our guy here. We just need one more player to get us over the hump for Roethlisberger here. You're perfect for our team. I'll give you a 4-year contract.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because at least the perception has always been that other teams see Saint receivers as system guys.
Yeah.
Colston.
Yeah.
Guy was underappreciated, undervalued, under everything his entire career. And I think the thought always was is that if he, you know, he without the Saints, Colston wasn't Colston. You know, he was a system guy. He was, So I don't know. You know,
I mean, there's
obviously the Patriots valued Cook.
There's value. There's a value to that. I mean, you have a guy like Snead. Most Saints receivers have gone away, have not been super productive. So I don't think that it's too far of a reach to say that Saints receivers are system guys.
Yeah.
We as Saints followers, Saints fans out there, are always talking about, it don't matter because Breeze will make him a better player.
Right.
And there's some validity to that. I don't think you can take any bum off the street and he would be super successful. But if you give somebody who has moderate talent, maybe he's not a superstar, Drew Brees will make him in. And we're about to find out with Thomas what he can do with someone who has legitimate superstar-type potential.
Right. So you look at Snead. I mean, Snead came from Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken, right? He didn't make it in Cleveland.
I think Carolina.
He went to Carolina, didn't make it there. Went to Cleveland, didn't make it there.
Well, you know, especially in Cleveland, but really in both cases when you're talking about passing, look what he had throwing the ball, quite frankly.
Yeah.
He comes to New Orleans, and all of a sudden, here's Breeze, and all of a sudden, Snead looks like a, superstar.
He's a capable NFL receiver, a playmaker.
Yeah.
I've used this past week. This is the time of year where I start reviewing all the Saints games. And you see the good. The problem is I always start with the good games, the games we won, the games that we scored a lot of points, and it leaves a very good taste in your mouth. Then what ends up happening is that you get to the point where you start watching these bad games, and I got to start mixing them in because by the time training camp starts and I've watched all the games, I'm now down to the ones that they didn't play very well.
Yeah.
So then you end up with a bad taste in your mouth. Matter of fact, Tomas,
Yes, sir.
I think you diverted from our conversation when you did not give out your information for your
Twitter
account.
Yeah.
I told you.
You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't tell us.
BS and Beer Who Dat.
I'm going to have to review the tape.
All right. BS and Beer Who Dat is my Twitter account for this show.
All right. And Saints BS, that's mine. If you guys want to get in touch with
us. Wait. And we have one more.
Yeah.
What you do if you want to hit Heath up, you got to come to one of our accounts and you'll see his name there and you'll be like, that's how you spell that name?
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to find it. He didn't do anything clever.
That was my homework from last time. I was supposed to, that was an assignment. I was supposed to come up with something easier to, and I did not, much like my entire school career, I didn't get around to that. But I'll work on that to try to come up with something easier. So yeah, you can add to my eight people that, you know.
And even more so, there's the BS and Beer Graffiti Hotline.
What's that number, Dave?
That number, 701-901-1295. What you do, if you're new to the show, you don't know what it is, you give it a call. You leave a message. We will take the audio file, we put it on the show, and then we'll discuss
it. If it's interesting.
Try to keep it under a minute. So it's the Graffiti Hotline. We don't want it to be the book hotline, you know. So keep that in check. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Hey, this is Dave Romero of the BS and Beer Podcast. You guys know I like to goof around and have a good time on our show, but when I'm looking for real hard-hitting news, I head over to LandryFootball.com. Now back to more BS and Beer Podcast with my boys Heath and Tomas. All right, Heath, Tomas. Next interesting tidbit news. Did I mention to you that I didn't know where to go with that, so I was about to say that the Falcons lost a 25-point lead in the
you
Super
don't
Bowl?
Say.
I'm telling you, I heard it just happened. Other big news is on Wednesday, the Saints report to camp. Thursday, start practice, no pads. Yeah. They're going to be out on the field as a team practicing. And it's keeping it real. If you can endure, like, what is it, heat index, like over 120, you too can go out and watch the Saints practice.
And don't forget now, Rouse is offering a little shade under a tree.
Yes.
A block of ice in front of a fan. So, you know.
They can have those little pylons with the orange thing to rope it off, and you got to pay $30 to go stand there.
A big cube of Pelican ice up there. Do they still make Pelican ice?
I don't know. I plan on visiting, but I like to visit New Orleans when it's not July and August. Just a thing I have. It's not my favorite
October
time of the year.
October's a good time.
So offensive line, Heath. Peyton said on a radio show, the new Duncan and what's the other guy's
Holder.
Name? Holder.
Holder. Yeah.
Have a new radio show. I guess they got Peyton on, and it must be nice.
Yeah.
Because I've been calling them, for whatever reason, I'm not getting a reply on my phone calls. Yeah, I text them, but I don't even know if it's the right number. Let's see. That they want Ramchek or Khalif Barnes, which, in my opinion, you're just wasting your time. But I'm sure they don't want to just say we want Ramchek to win the job.
Right.
But there was some question. I even brought that up. I even brought it up to Chris Landry. Would the Saints be better off to move Pete to left tackle and fill in a guard or keep Pete at left guard and then try to hope that one of these guys wins the job? And here we go. We get a little news. They're going to try to have Ramchek win this job. And obviously that's the smartest decision they can make.
Yeah, as they should. You know, we have a first-round draft pick that played left tackle. Ramchek, right? So now
we have another first-round draft pick that played left tackle.
Well, okay. You got me there, okay? Fair enough. But the bottom line is that, you know, we got this guy finally settled into a spot at guard. And we have another first, you know, and part of the problem, you know, we drafted a tackle in the first round and then tried to play him on the right side, a tackle and guard, and then we, you know, and Pete, moving him all around. So imagine this idea. We're going to take the guy that we drafted in the first round this year that played left tackle his whole career, and we're going to actually play him at left tackle.
That is profound. Brilliant. I mean, that's why the Saints coaching staff is paid so handsomely.
That's right.
To make those kind of brilliant decisions.
And what about these astute observations on it?
No, that's pretty good stuff.
But look,
you didn't get paid a penny for that observation.
No, exactly. And rightfully so. But the bottom line is that, you know, I think certainly Ramchek trying to win the left tackle job and versus moving Pete out and then trying to find somebody to fill in at guard, you know.
All right, so then the question is, Tomas, how bad does Ramczyk, or God forbid, old Khalif Barnes have to play before they knock the dust off of Pete and move him out to the left tackle?
Well, I think we're going to see a replay of what we had last year, if you recall. All during preseason, everybody was crying about how horrible our offensive line was.
That is true. I remember that.
Okay, because poor Pete, which I still feel bad for. You know, this man has taken more abuse than he really deserves to have. Because if you look at the, as I've been looking at games, you know, yeah, he gets beat every once in a while, you know, badly, you know, on the right side. But again, you had him playing right tackle, right guard, then left tackle. I mean, the poor boy was so swimming and confused. Once you put him in one place and let him stay there, I saw consistent improvement at left guard all year long.
I completely
and then when
agree.
He did have to, and interestingly, when they did shift him out to left tackle because Armstead wasn't in the game, he did a good job at left tackle as well.
Yeah.
So the left side obviously is his skill set.
Right.
You know. So to me, I think I'm going to tell you right now. I think this is Ramczyk's job to lose. I really think they'll start him off like they do all the rookies. Well, son, you know, you're back there on the third team. You know, you'll run the third team. You know. But it won't be long before, okay, son, you're working the second team. Okay, son, you're working the first team. And I really think come around to the – it wouldn't surprise me. It's halfway through the first preseason game. We see him starting at left tackle, and he probably doesn't lose it. You know, and again, I have to – you know, just like Heath has said in a previous show, remember, this guy is the number one tackle in all of college in the draft choice. This was the number one guy rated by everybody. Natural skill at left tackle. And he would, in my opinion, he would have been probably between 10 and 13, 10 and 14 in the pick had he not been injured at all. He would have been gone way, you know, way before he, I might even say before he even picked our first pick. You know, that's how good this guy is. So, and we've heard Coach talk about how he's a really bright guy. He picks things up really quick. So, again, it won't surprise me at all that by season, beginning of the season, he's our starting left tackle. And we'll take our lumps. He'll get beat here and there by a pro who knows that he's a rookie and throws something at him. You know, but I see him being the starting left tackle. I don't see Barnes being the starting left tackle. But yeah. I do see Barnes making a team. But I don't see him being a left tackle.
And I think that Saints fans, as usual, you need to be patient.
Yes,
regardless
absolutely.
Of where he was supposed to be, you know, not every guy walks in and is dominant immediately. So
that's
I
right.
think we're going to see growing pains. But I'd also see... think the Saints would be silly if you watch Khalif Barnes play. There's nothing to be gained.
No, and they
by
know
having
that.
Him.
The
in
Saints
there.
Know that.
even if Ramczyk, now look, if he's just not ready, the guy's just not ready. You don't want to put him in there and just destroy his confidence. But even if he's not quite the player that Barnes, and just saying this makes me kind of laugh at myself,
yeah.
or just makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. If he's not quite Barnes level. Then at least you get him in there, get us some experience, help him out with some tight ends, chip on him. Whatever you need to do to give the guy help to be successful, you need to have him in there playing and get some experience and develop. And you're not going to have him – that's not going to happen with him on the bench.
Right.
And Barnes in the lineup. It just – bottom line is the more I talk, the more I realize it's just a bunch of coach speak. There's right. no way they're going into this thinking that, well, you know, Barnes could be our starting left tackle.
Right.
And I guess I'm saying that, and I guess they did say at some point if neither one of them are capable of doing it, which in my mind,
right.
Barnes is not capable of doing it.
Right.
That just means that they're going
to
slide.
So to answer the question you asked before, how bad does Ramczyk have to play or whatever to put Pete out? He has to play bad enough for Barnes to be a consideration at left tackle.
Yes, that's okay. the way. That's
and
the
at
game.
That point, that's when you're going to start seeing a possibility of Pete sliding.
When we start hearing Tomas talk about, well, Barnes really didn't play that bad, then we know that yeah. Ramczyk fell on his face. He's not ready. And
if Tony Hills comes into the conversation, any kind of way,
okay? Oh, my Lord. Right. Well, you mean when Lolito gets cut by the Titans and we pick him back up?
Well, here's something else that's a little bit interesting because, okay.
Just a little bit.
If, for instance, worst case scenario, Barnes isn't ready and Ramczyk isn't ready either, and they slide Pete out to left tackle, apparently based on this PUP list that I just read off earlier, we have one less option at guard. Kelamiti's
now.
I'm going to have to figure out or it has
I
to
haven't
be released.
Heard anything about
Clement. Yeah, I was surprised. That was
and
the name
again,
on the
not
list.
That they'd want it, but actually one less option at tackle in a pinch if you really need it with Clement.
Right, because he plays all positions.
Tackle, you know what? You're absolutely right. I thought you were referring back to meaning that the other guys weren't ready
but
yet.
I'll throw this one out at you. Going back to your question, just like Heath said, at what point? If Barnes doesn't win it and Ratchick has some issue, then I think they'll slide Pete out and Larebus, is that his name? Yeah, the guy who was at Washington and then in Philadelphia.
The center.
Well, he plays guard as well.
Huh? Okay.
So they might slide him and put him in at guard.
And then what? Did now do we get to see your boy? Jack Allen?
No.
All right.
This is all assuming that Unger is back in
right,
manning
that's what I'm
the
saying.
Center
if
position.
Back at center. And again, this is the point why I think Clemente is, on a team unless he maybe broke a leg or God forbid. But, because
PUP,
he plays center as well.
Right. And his versatility is why he's on his team. Because, quite frankly, he's not very good at anyone. Matter of fact, in watching him play, the position I felt he actually played the best at, and again, in a short period of time,
right.
was actually tackle.
Was that tackle?
I didn't see him get beat at all at tackle, and I see him get whooped at guard. Now, he didn't get whooped as much as...
Lolito. Yeah.
My God, that guy got beat consistently. He's not on the team anymore. Calamity wasn't that bad. But I see him bending over with one leg stuck out like this and a guy running by him and Breeze trying to duck out of the way.
Yeah.
But when he played tackle, I was like, who is this guy playing tackle? And not even trying to suggest that he should be a tackle.
Right.
But he held his own. Now, the other thing you have to take in consideration, which I couldn't even tell you, was the matchup. Who was the guy on the other side of them? You might have had a backup defensive end in there that wasn't that good, or maybe the starter was injured, or whatever the situation that gave him a favorable matchup not to get humiliated. But he played really well at left. If you're just looking at the results, he played really well at left tackle.
He did.
Pretty amazing to me. All right, we're going to hit a quick break here, and then when we come back, Tomas has some enthralling and informative information.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's something about every team in the NFC South.
NFC South.
Draft picks.
Yes, sir. And free agents.
And free agents as well. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right, we're back. BS and Beer Podcast crew here.
We never went away, but go ahead.
We went away for a minute. To those guys,
Yeah, so. Everybody else here knows we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here. it's the SEC pub.
That's right.
And you can feel the energy. I think they all sitting around thinking about the start of the NFL training camps, and I think they all super excited about it. That's the feeling I get. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But that's what I'm feeling.
Absolutely.
Tomas, you think? No?
No. That's exactly the feeling.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
getting.
The thing. I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on here out in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're looking at me like I'm stupid. But that's not uncommon. I'm used to that. So, Tomas.
Familiar look.
That's just your wife looking at you. Go ahead.
Is that what we're doing now?
Is that how it's going to be?
All right, yeah. It's going to get all personal again.
I love you, Dave.
Tomas wants to talk. I guess someone brought up. Maybe
I always
want
to talk, but go ahead.
Wants to talk about the NFL. Why are you trying to distract me? Wants to talk about the NFL drafts for the teams in the NFC South. Because I guess somebody said on some article that the Saints draft and the free agents weren't any good. So I think this is his effort to prove that we wouldn't want any other teams draft as opposed to our own.
Right.
So Tomas, take it away, my friend.
All right. Well, as Dave sort of set the premise for us here, reading all these
set the
negative,
tone.
Tone lock. Okay, so many people have been writing so negatively. So many people have been speaking so negatively about our Saints. That's right. I'm talking to you and our Saints. See, this is something you learn about doing on radio.
I thought you were pointing on
that. I'm pointing right here. You see, you learn when you're doing a radio broadcast, you're only talking one-to-one, so that's why you don't ever say you all or all
or
of
everyone.
You, everyone. You always say you, singular.
Little piece of advice. I'm going to use that. I'm going
to
use that.
So I'm talking to you.
You guy's looking around his car right now.
Yeah. I'm still looking around. He's pointing over here.
Yeah, he keeps pointing this way. I'm like, he's mad at
me. My finger's pointing down. He's mad at me over there like that.
Okay.
All right, in any case, so much negativity
And people talking about how, oh, the Saints had a terrible draft pick. Oh, man, you know, what were they thinking about? I mean, we didn't get the edge rusher to what round? The 17th round? I mean, you know, what's the story? Okay, so I decided I was going to write up for everybody here, of our crew. This piece of paper here has the draft picks and the free agent signings for every one of the NFC South teams. Now, I think I got them all right. I hope I didn't skip any, but we'll see. So, I want people to think about it. Here are the picks for the Falcons. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 draft picks. A first, a third, a fourth, and 3/5. Not as opposed to 5th, 3rd. Okay, so 3/5. All right. So, their first pick was McKinley, a guy who had shoulder surgery, and they tattooed his grandmama on the top of his head. So, he carries a picture with him all the time.
Yeah.
He's out because he still hasn't recovered from shoulder surgery. All right.
Right.
Now, the next guy, their third round pick, who I liked, I was hoping would drop to us, Riley, linebacker from LSU. I think he's going to contribute. Then they picked the fourth round, Harlow, offensive guard. Don't think much of him. Kazi at number 5 and their 5th pick, the defensive back. I liked him. I think that's a good value pick at the 5th pick. Hill, a running back. A waste of a pick, even though he's a big, burly guy. And Saubert, the tight end from Drake, I think is where he went to school. Okay, so that's their 6 picks. All right. Free agent signings. All right, their big signing was Poe, defensive tackle from the Chiefs. But they also signed from the Ravens, outside linebacker Upshaw. From the Cowgirls, they signed Crawford, defensive lineman. I guess he's one of the only guys on the Cowgirls team who wasn't in trouble. He decided to get out where he could. Roberts, a wide receiver from the Lions. Coleman, a fullback from the Seahawks. Thornton, an offensive guard from the Colts. And Vinuku from the Texans at fullback.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Now, looking at that list, I can see where a lot of people thought, man, I wish we would have picked, like, the Falcons. Okay, let's go on to the next one. The Scamthers. I did that for my buddy Dave.
Yeah, I think the most interesting part of this whole thing is he has the teams listed out. The Falcons, the Scamthers, and what is this?
Yuccaneers.
The Yuccaneers. The Saints are right, though. You got the Saints. Yeah. Well, you got them all right, actually. All right,
correct.
Please continue.
All right. So here we have the Scamthers. Their first pick, McCaffrey, running back. Second pick, Samuel, wide receiver. Now, you know, we signed Ginn.
Right.
And the big thing was he drops a lot of balls. Well, so far in OTAs and minicamp, Samuel has dropped more balls than Ginn. Good luck with that. All right, let's go on. Moton, offensive tackle. That's a good pick. I like him. He's the developmental guy, though. It'll take a couple of years. Hall, defensive end. Elder, defensive back. Arma, fullback. And their 7th pick, they picked a kicker. His name is Butker.
I thought that was a typo. B-U-T-K-E-R.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, the butler.
No, Butker. It's Butker. That's his name, Butker.
Oh, well done.
Now, here it is, free agents. Now, I don't know. They obviously thought that the Vikings had the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because from the Vikings, they got Munnerlyn, defensive back. Khalil, that was their big signing offensive tackle. And then they cut Orr, who they should have cut last year. But anyway. And the wide receiver, Johnson. 3 guys from the Vikings. Peppers, Julius Peppers, who's still playing, collecting Social Security.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the Packers, defensive end. Shepard, a wide receiver from the Yucks, from the Bucks. Adams, a safety from the Colts, who they think is a big thing, but I don't think so. And Moore, defensive end from the 49ers. Okay, there's your Scamthers picks. We flip the page over. The Yuccaneers. Their big signing, Howard, tight end. I like that signing. He's going to be a good tight end, all pro. I think
He's something I'm nervous about. Yeah.
Evans, safety. Don't worry too much about that. Here's a kid I was hoping we'd get. Godwin, wide receiver. Beckwith. Now, Beckwith is still hurt. He hasn't passed his physical yet. Linebacker. McNichols, running back. Utah, I think, yeah. Tuka Lavotu.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Defensive tackle. Free agents. Again, from the Cowgirls, they got Wilcox, a safety. Then they obviously liked the Redskins and the Jets because they got a defensive lineman, Baker, from the Redskins, and, of course, their big signing, DeSean Jackson, wide receiver for the Redskins.
Huh.
Then they signed a kicker, Folk, from the Jets, and Fitzpatrick, quarterback from the Jets. Tells you a lot what they think about there. Okay. Then the long snapper they signed from the Bills, Sam Bourne. Defensive back from the Chargers, McClain, who we burned over and over when we played them. And defensive end Barnes from the Seahawks. Okay. Now we come to our Saints. First pick, defensive back Lattimore. He'll start. Another first round pick, Ramczyk, offensive tackle. He'll start. Second round pick, Marcus Williams, safety. He'll start. Third round pick, Kamara. He'll start at running back. Did they follow along so far? Okay. Third round pick, Anzalone, linebacker. He'll be starting. Hendrickson, third round pick, defensive end. He'll be starting. Muhammad, the only guy that we picked that won't be starting. Okay.
Now you got all these other guys as starters.
Man, I'm.
You tell me that they're not.
Eventually or right away?
Yeah, during the season, during the upcoming season, I believe the Saints have more draft picks that will be starting before the end of the season than any other NFC South team.
See, I want to ask a question, but I should wait until you finish.
Well, does that mean that they suck so bad that they just pick up these?
Yeah, you got to ask the question.
That's going to come.
And then here's another thing. Statistically speaking,
yeah,
because I like all these guys too. I'll be the first to admit.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, percentage-wise,
there's no way that's going to happen.
There's just no way.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm.
So now, Dave, you'll be buying me my beers at the end of the season when all five of the, if six of these guys are starting.
If six of these guys are starting and we had a bang-up draft, I mean.
Yes, sir.
I mean, and the thing about it.
Or we had last year's injury situation again.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Is so we got to put a criteria on
that. Wait, I haven't got my free agents. Let's go with my free agents now.
Spending $250 a beer on you just for no reason.
I don't drink no Bud Light, brother. Okay, so. When you look at the free agents, I would hope that most of us know. I know some of the names of free agents for these other teams, but I have to tell you, I don't know a lot of them. You know, I actually had to go look up and see who they were. You know? So, here we come to the Saints. Wolford, offensive guard Lions. Definitely an improvement to our offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Klein, linebacker Panthers. Again, both these guys are going to be starting.
Yeah.
No? All right. Okafor, defensive end Cardinals. Now, here's one for Dave. If he's healthy, he's only 26 years old.
Okafor? Yep.
All right. Ginn, wide receiver of the Panther. So, those first four, I see him contributing right away. All right, let's go on. Teo, I don't think he'll make the team. But linebacker for the Chargers. Daniel, quarterback. He'll be the backup from the Eagles. He got all his money already. He's just smoking cigars and sitting back there. Bush, safety from the Lions. Good backup. Peterson from the running backs, Vikings. And here I'm going to say it with Dave. You got to show me. Okay, sorry, Peterson, but you got to show me. Larrabius, who was a center for the Redskins and the Eagles. McDaniel, defensive tackle, Seahawks. Gafford, long snapper from the Broncos. And Harbor, tight end for the Lions. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are only really two guys on that list of free agents that I don't think will make the team. Now, these are free agents that weren't on our team. Same thing for all the other teams. I didn't list who they re-signed who was a free agent for their team. Okay? These are from other teams that they
acquired sell. Free agents, right. Maybe you'd say.
So now I put this to you, the listener. Send us what your thought is on our hot...
Which one? We got all kind of stuff. The hotline?
The hotline.
Twitter,
what's our hotline?
You want the email?
I want the hotline number first.
Okay, 701-901-1295.
Right. Short and sweet. Just tell me which team. Just tell us which team you would pick over the Saints for their draft picks and their free agents. You can give me a little why. Just a little short thing. Don't give us a tome. We don't need that. Okay. They don't know what a tome is.
No.
Don't give us a long story. Okay.
Oh, is that tome? Like, don't give us a Tomas?
No.
No?
A tome.
All right. So, that's it. Or you can drop us an email. What's our email address?
BSMBeer at iCloud.com.
iCloud.
The cloud.
Okay, the cloud.
Sounds very high tech, doesn't it?
That's right. So there you go. There you go. Now I'll throw it open on the floor there for my fellow compatriots.
My first reaction again, and I kind of already made my big point, is that, man, I do like our draft. How much of that has to do with being more intimately familiar with these guys, because once they were drafted, then you go out and research them. For instance, now I'm irritated every time I hear one talking head after another just read somebody else's blog and then just repeat what they read and say that Anzalone is injury prone. Yes, he did get injured. Nothing about the injuries, in my opinion, would be considered injury prone. Now, they were injuries that he missed time. He missed a lot of time. But I just...
The definition of injury prone does not necessarily mean injuring the same thing over and over again.
If you get
hurt every year, no matter what it is, you become injury prone.
Well, you know what? You see, back to my not standing my ground on stuff.
If you spend 2 years with a shoulder injury and then you break an arm in the third year, and you're injury prone. Now, does that mean
he only had 1 year with a shoulder injury?
I thought he had 2 years where he had a shoulder problem.
I don't think so.
Either way, the bottom line is, all right, two out of what, four? Or did he come out as a junior?
Probably.
Okay, two out of the 3 years he played, he was hurt. Okay. Now, does that mean he's going to stay injury prone? Not necessarily. But I don't think it's as big of a stretch or ridiculous to consider that tag just because it wasn't like the same injury or recurring
problem. And I do agree with that point. And to my knowledge and recollection, he had a shoulder injury that made him miss a ton of time for like most of the rest of that season. Right. Then he broke his arm. And again, to me, LRB I do not see. You know, I mean, now that might not be fair because you're talking about the glass, the poster child. Yeah, you look on Wikipedia and say, show me injury prone, and there's Danelle Ellerbe sitting there.
Right.
So maybe that's a bad standard to put him up against. But then when I go down the list, I agree. Lattimore, look, he's a rookie, but he's a super talented guy. He's going to get a ton of playing time. And when you're talking about cornerbacks, a starter, not starter, he's going to have 60% of the snaps or more this season. Ramczyk. Just due to injury, he's going to have every opportunity in the world to start. That pick now looks like it was an absolute genius pick. Williams, he might be the sleeper of the entire draft. I mean, the guy, the only negative they had about him, that's not true. The big negative about him was that he needed to get in the NFL weight room and put on some weight and some size that he wouldn't be able to stand up against the NFL defense. I read a lot of criticism by that. Then I saw a picture of him, and I said, okay, problem solved.
Yeah.
The dude looked, I mean, he was swole. He's huge. His arms are like legs. And then we can get into a whole talk of how that happened. You know what I'm saying? But it did. And so as long as he don't get tested anytime soon, we're probably good to go. Anzalone, okay, we just discussed him. Henderson, I think he has an opportunity to earn playing time. I'm not sold on that. He's just going to walk in. I got to see the guy play. Quite frankly, there wasn't even enough video on YouTube to really get a good assessment of this kid coming from a small school. So, but I like it. But, again, how much is – then when you go on to the free agents, man, I think obviously Warford's going to start. Klein is going to start. Okafor – for all intent and purposes, I think that it's his job to lose, you know. Yeah. So then now we go into a conflict.
If he stays healthy, he's certainly going to be a significant contributor.
You know? But you can really talk about two different body types between him and Hendrickson.
Right.
So you're talking about, hey, man, you might have a 1-2 punch there, you know. Ginn is going to definitely be a starter. He's going to be our speed guy.
Right.
And then, I mean, Peterson, I do find it funny, I'm going to pick on you for a second, that you like, Peterson got to prove it, but Hendrickson's going to start. I find that hilarious.
Because of the injury situation. And I would say the same thing about Kikaha. As much as I love Kikaha, he's going to have to prove that he's going to be one of those guys, just like the fellow over at Carolina, that had 3 knee surgeries and can still play at that high level.
Yeah, linebacker.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing about Peterson. 58. You know, you can look great because you have no pads on. There's nobody hitting you. Okay. Let's see what happens when you put the pads on and he turns that corner and Big Hill tattoos.
Somebody gives him a pork chop.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, right. That's right. All right. So, I mean, I do. I love it. I mean, I'm looking at the Saints list and I love it. But I'm also going to be reasonable enough to say that I'm sure the Yuccaneers, every one of their guys, if their fans go and just research each one of those guys, you'll find all the things.
Well, I'm going to tell you that part of my putting this list together is I went to the sites for the other teams. Yeah. I went to Falcoholic and all the other Falcant sites.
You know, just the fact that you can get on that, most Saints fan have
that
already
is
been
actually
banned,
a you know, perfect so. Name for a Falcons board.
Yeah, Falcoholics. Yeah, because you have to have a lot of
There's
alcohol.
There's a whole
to
lot
Falcant
of Falcoholics
now. But they had a couple of sites for the Falcants. They had a couple of sites for the Yuccaneers. Had a couple of sites for the Scamthers. So I went to all their sites. I read what the fans were saying, and you know what they thought about this guy, that guy. And then I went and looked up the guys and see who they were. You know,
so you did your research.
I did my research. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do for my good friend Heath and Dave the same thing I'm doing for our great listeners. I'll give it to the next show to figure it out. Go ahead and do some research if you'd like. And well, let me know then if you want to, you know, pick one of these teams. For myself, I just tell you right now because I already done the research. I do not believe that any of the teams in the NFC South did a better job at drafting than we did.
And, I mean,
and a better job at signing free agents than we.
Leaving the free agents off, because obviously I haven't followed these teams and who they were signing as free agents and whatnot. But, I mean, as I recall, during the draft, most of the draft talking heads right after the draft gave the Saints, I believe, the highest grade in the division, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I certainly agree.
I think Tampa Bay
that.
And the Saints had the highest
I mean, and you know, I certainly believe in that. Of course, the Homer effect or whatever. But, now and now really looking at the free agents as well. You know, I like what the Saints did at free agent.
I
don't think that really
lift.
Changes anything for me.
It's impressive lift. When we talk about the Scanthers, they have two guys. McCaffrey got a ton of run on the Saints boards. Caught momentum, and every Saints fan wanted him. I'm not impressed. So we'll find out. I'll put that opinion out there right now.
There's a second thing about that is looking at McCaffrey in and of himself, but then there's also looking at McCaffrey on what team.
In a system. Right.
And with a quarterback, since catching the ball is really his forte.
Right.
Okay? And, like, and then especially when you go – McCaffrey, Samuel, 1-2 for the Panthers in their system. I don't really think it's any surprise that they've lost, like, including just recently, their GM, three guys out of the front office, I think, since the draft with Carolina.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the owner came in and said, What?
How does this work? Yeah, because I looked at Samuel and McCaffrey. Like, I wasn't as big on McCaffrey as a lot of Saints fans were. But I can see, I just didn't think the value was there. But I can see why you would want a guy like that. I'm just as happy. I'm not trying to say he's as good, but I'm just as happy with Kamara in that spot with the Saints. But McCaffrey would have fit very well in our system. Same goes with Samuel. I thought he could have filled needs for the Saints. And basically, I'm just repeating or validating what you're saying. In their offense, both of these guys are what I consider precision offense players.
Right.
They're guys that if you get the ball to them on time, quickly in a short passing game, they are exciting after the catch guys that can make a play. Scam Newton is not that guy.
Carolina is a team that's built on the line to run.
Run.
They got big burly running backs that run. And they got a quarterback, which the best thing he does is run.
Run. Right.
Yep.
And you know, the guy who scared me the most, the thought of him playing in this offense, this high school offense that they run, was Fournette.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't know if they didn't even have a chance at Fournette.
No.
But the point is my biggest fear was Fournette would end up going to the Panthers and the Panthers running that high school offense, and you have a choice. You tackling Fournette.
Yeah.
Or you tackling Scam Newton. And, again, as much grief as I give him, the guy's a load.
Right.
And if you're concentrating your front seven on stopping Fournette, and then he keeps the ball, and now you have little guys tackling him, eventually he will win that battle.
Right.
You know, he'll wear
him
down. They'll pop him a few times, but eventually you hit a 260-pound guy that's that athletic and elusive, and eventually you wear down those little cornerbacks. So that was my biggest fear. I do not fear this.
Right.
In their offense, and I think they'll be explosive. They'll make plays.
I was going to say, now you got to spend at least a minute thinking to yourself, what if we're all really wrong?
What was the question?
What if we're all really wrong about McCaffrey and Samuel fitting into that system?
We're about to find out.
You got to at least spend a minute thinking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We spent all this time talking about it.
Their offensive coordinator is Mike Shula. So now you go back and think about, all right, what has Mike Shula done as offensive coordinator? You know, and then the crickets are snapping away.
Okay.
So he was at Alabama. He was at Miami in the pros, Alabama College. Although some people think Alabama's a pro team. You're right. But,
they get paid like it.
Again, the teams where he was, it was, you know, they had some diversity of offense, no doubt about it. But the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. And Cam Newton has a certain skill set. It's not the skill set for McCaffrey. It's not the skill set for Samuel. Because Samuel's not Cooks. I had to think which one has an S. He's not Cooks. Samuel is the guy who's going to give you that quick 5-7, and you got to hit him there. He's right. Not going to be Cooks flying down the field, okay, I'm going to launch the ball, and he'll catch it at 40, 45 yards out. That's not going to be it, because that's Cam's strength, but that's not Samuel's strength.
Well, right. Okay, look, at the end of the day, the point is that you still can defend him as a deep ball threat because that's what Cam can do. So whether or not he can catch that ball deep, you know, that to me, that's arguable. But you can almost eliminate or at least not worry as much about the short precision screen game because of Cam's inability to get the ball out quick and be precise right. with his route. I mean, look, you do one of those little, you know, running backs just take a little jet out, a little banana out, a little just 3 yards. You have to throw the ball and put it on his fingertips so he catches the ball and turns upfield. If he has to do the thing where he turns around and is running backwards and it hits him in his knees or over the wrong shoulder,
right.
the play's over. Everything has to be right on the money, right on time, and afforded those plays to be successful.
Right.
So I don't necessarily believe that Samuels can't catch a deep ball. I just believe that that's what you get a fast guy. You just defend that play as opposed to thinking you have to be super concerned about the precision short game.
Correct me if I'm mistaken.
It's not. It wasn't.
That wasn't his forte in college.
So that's even further makes my point. And I'm not disagreeing with you. What I was simply trying to point out is that my concern was still the you don't have to worry about the short passing game.
Yes.
And if he is in a deep ball receiver, then. You're right. I mean, you put him in an offense where he's not going to be very successful.
Yeah, you wasted two picks, bottom line.
Cam doesn't have the touch. He has a huge windup when he throws the ball, and you need a quick release for that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
And, you know, now if you said, okay, 2 years ago, Cam Newton looked like he – I don't know, looked like he did.
Yeah, he fixes mechanics.
Take large strides as a passer.
Yeah.
And if you'd have drafted right after that, you'd have said, well, man, you know, Cam, you know, took him a little while, but he's coming around. This guy's going to be a hell of a...
But last year.
And then last year, I mean, the regression and, you know, and I don't necessarily think that had anything to do with he didn't fall on the ball in the Super Bowl. In other words, we thought they'd have problems on their team because of that.
Yes.
But I don't think that had anything to do with the fact that he went back to not being able to throw the ball last
year. It just
says
something about him as a person regressing as far as...
Right.
Attention to detail and putting in the work and effort to maintain his mechanics.
Because he went back to, other than running around and then using that arm that he has to chunk the ball deep down the field, a la Pittsburgh's offense with Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Although, I don't want to do that to Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Ben
Are you trying to,
a much more accomplished passer than Cam Newton. Okay.
But similarities in the
but
type
right,
of
in other words,
offenses.
At the end of the day, all Cam is really that successful with throwing the ball is scramble around, use your size to knock guys off of you and then chunk the ball deep to again and hope like hell that he catches it.
Right. All right, boys. It's we're days away. Depending on when you listen to the podcast.
That's right.
It could be already on top of you.
Right.
But we're days away. Any final thoughts there, Heath?
I'm just ready to actually get some news.
Yeah, something to talk about.
Because I, like you, I jumped the gun and really thought we were going to be talking about all kinds of stuff that was coming out about the rookies. And
I did, too.
Too. Yeah.
Much out there, right?
No. I mean, just basic cursory news that comes out, just a little information here or there. But somehow or another, we managed to squeeze an hour out of it. And matter of fact, a little bit more. So
I'm not finished yet.
You know, I know you do. I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to walk out. You sit here and talk all you want. I want to thank Chris Landry, as usual, our partner, and the guy comes in and is. It's just so much knowledge, man. I appreciate him. During the season, we're going to have a lot more with him. So if you enjoy that, stay tuned for it. Let's give out the graffiti hotline.
Yeah, what's that number
701-901-1295. If you want to email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com. And then Twitter.
bsandbeer, who dat?
That's
mine.
That's Tomas. And Saints BS, that's mine. Now, We don't even bother giving out.
We're going to give the homework assignment again.
Yeah, so
the first time.
If you go to either one of my or Tomas's accounts, you usually will see a tweet there from Heath. And I'm not even going to bother because you might be driving. Yeah. You're trying to write it down. Next thing you're in a ditch. You know what I'm saying? Trying to, your pen don't have enough ink in it
to write
the
longest sort of name that there is.
Yeah, right. No one who does that. Like you shorten it to H-E or something, you know? Oh, that was taken. H-E-O-1. No, that's taken.
Cool H-T-8-4-5-2. Like
you know, it's something, but he can't do it. So, but anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, we appreciate you so much for listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll catch you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.